One of my favorite experiences in church is observing how people handle their own adoration. Like when they come through the door, you'll see sometimes, well, you always see people, we all do, we put our hand in the holy water font, right? And we bless and cross ourselves. And it's beautiful. Once in a while, you get to see some amazing things. Like, for instance, a family coming through the door, and dad's got a bambino in each arm, and his arms are full, and he can't put his hand in the water font. But mama has a hand free, and she puts her hand in the font and blesses her husband and blesses her children and blesses any other children that are there around her, and then lastly blesses herself. Beautiful moment. Or somebody's pushing a wheelchair and a loved one is pushing their loved one. They're the main caregiver, and the person in the wheelchair can't reach the font, and the same thing happens. Beautiful expression of faith. We show ourselves to be Trinitarians every time we cross ourselves, the way we enter a church, the way we handle ourselves at prayer time. The sign of the cross is a short summary of the creed that we say at every Mass. We declare our belief in the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Each person is distinct, but unity in one God. A mystery that we can only hold in faith, but if you read Scripture, you can't have any other understanding of it. The Gospel talks about it. The Father says you've got to believe in the Son or you can't have eternal life. It's because Jesus is God. And we declare it over and over again when we make the sign of the cross. I love it watching Hispanics. And they'll cross themselves and then kiss their thumb. What's going on? Well, if you look carefully, what they should be doing, if Mama's teaching them right, is the thumb and the index finger form a cross. So there's adoration of the Holy Cross and the Holy Trinity. Beautiful concept. A lot of times you get this if they've gotten either lazy, forgotten what Mama taught them, or nobody ever taught them, and you get something and the hand goes past the mouth somewhere or another, but they're not really sure. There's no cross. It's just, and you know, there's time for a refresher. But it's not enough for us to say we believe in God. Of course we believe in God. And there's lots of other religions that also believe in God. But not all of them believe that Jesus is God. There's the dividing line. It's this that separates us. It's the sign of the cross, the Holy Trinity, that separates us from, say, Muslims or Jews or even Mormons who believe in Jesus Christ but not as Holy Trinity. He's not God. He's not the God. When we cross ourselves, we remember that Jesus died on the cross for us, and we revere the cross like that forming of the cross with the thumb and the forefinger. The cross signifies and combines suffering and victory over death. There's both of that in the cross. Death died there. Death was defeated. Jesus opened up heaven for us. And those who die with Jesus can never die again. We also remember our baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There are places in the Bible where we hear somebody was baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, Jesus made clear in the last paragraph of the last chapter in the book of Matthew, baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We baptize into the Holy Trinity. If there's a baptism someplace and it's not into the Holy Trinity, we can't consider it a valid baptism. We take it that seriously. By our baptism into the Holy Trinity, we not only gain heaven, but we also gain access to Jesus in the sacraments, in the Holy Eucharist. We gain eternal fellowship with all the saints. Now, the Holy Trinity has a human being in it because Jesus took flesh from the Blessed Mother. There is a human being in the Holy Trinity because Jesus resurrected body and soul. Remember that? God loves the human race. He created us in His image to live with Him forever. And in the Holy Trinity, there's a fourth person. Me. You. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. That's our hope. That's what our baptism does for us. At the end of His time on earth at the Last Supper, before His passion and resurrection, Jesus said to His disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when He comes, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you to all truth. So in the church, after Pentecost, Jesus was still present in His Holy Spirit and continued to teach, continued to reveal. How do you know the Holy Spirit's present in the church? Whenever you see the church being church, the congregation, the Mass, the Eucharist, the baptism, the catechism, that's how you know the Holy Spirit's working. And there's another dimension here. It's been going this way for 2,000 years. You can't name another organization that has 2,000 years of consistent belief and values. We're the only one because of the Holy Spirit and our faith in the Holy Trinity. One of the things He would tell us over and over again through the Holy Spirit would be how much He loves us and the many gifts He gives us through the church, His sacraments, the Holy Eucharist, the saints, who are examples of how to live with Him and with each other in the church. Without the church, we wouldn't have the Holy Eucharist. The annual feast day of the Holy Eucharist is coming up next Sunday, June 22nd, the feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, or Corpus Christi, what we call it. And we're going to have a procession here for the Corpus Christi, a Corpus Christi procession, right after the 1:30 Mass, and you're all invited. After the 1:30 Mass, we're going to continue. At the end of Mass, we're going to walk with the monstrance and the Blessed Sacrament. We're going to go out, like we did last year, down the hallway of the saints, all the way to the office, and turn right, go out to the street, and I'm going to turn right again and walk all the way down Riker Drive, and when we get to the end of the property, we're going to walk back up again past the sanctuary of Our Lady of Guadalupe and to the altar where we will have benediction and end the procession there. Friday, June 27th, a week from this coming Friday, is the Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, our parish feast day, and it's no accident that the celebration of the Sacred Heart comes on the first Friday after the Feast of Corpus Christi. That is exactly what Jesus told St. Margaret Mary à la Coque in June 1675. He told her, "Behold this heart, which has loved men so much that it has spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself in order to testify to them its love." Now Jesus told this to her in a vision while she was praying before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration on the Feast of Corpus Christi. And he said to her, "Therefore, I ask of you that the Friday after the octave of Corpus Christi be set apart for a special feast to my honor, my heart, by communicating on that day, by receiving Holy Communion that day." Jesus was telling her to receive Holy Communion. Now, why was that so important? Why the timing of that apparition in June 1675 on the Feast of Corpus Christi? Jesus chose it very carefully, that moment, because some things that were going on were tearing the church apart. There had been a heresy brewing for almost the entire century regarding grace, regarding Holy Communion. It's called the Jansenist heresy. And it was a severe heresy that taught, you know, only a few are going to be saved, and you may not be in that number. Probably doesn't include you. And you're wasting your time going to communion all the time. Maybe you only need to receive once a year and then hope God will notice you. That's a heresy. That's a heresy. Meanwhile, the popes down in Rome were saying, "No, receive Holy Communion all the time." You see the stress and the tension? It started in France. And it spread throughout France to all of Europe, to Spain and to Germany and to England. It was being nurtured by the Protestant Reformation, who didn't want to have anything to do with sacraments. And it's tearing the Catholic Church apart. And Jesus told Margaret Mary, "Receive me in Holy Communion as often as obedience will permit, and to communicate on the first Friday of every month." He just gave her 13 times to receive Holy Communion if she didn't receive it on Sunday. That's a pretty powerful symbol in the wake of a heresy that's ripping your church apart. With the spread of the devotion of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus throughout the church, that heretical stance was gone within 100 years. We still see signs of it. I'll show you how it shows up here. If I get 100 Anglos coming to Mass, I get 90 usually coming to Holy Communion. Exaggeration, but that's what we see. That describes what we see. If I get 100 Mexicans at Mass, I'll get 30 who go to Holy Communion. What's the issue? Missing that need to receive Holy Communion, that belief that this is how I'm going to have eternal life. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is a very important part of the Holy Spirit's revelation to the church, that he promised, "You can't handle this now, but later on you'll understand what I'm teaching you." And this is part of it, the love of the Holy Eucharist, the love of his sacraments. There's an intimate connection between the Feast of Corpus Christi and the Feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I've spoken with you about coming together as a parish community to celebrate both feasts in June, because they're June feasts, less than 8 days apart, Corpus Christi and the feast day of our parish, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then this parish, particularly, because the name of our parishes were dedicated to the Sacred Heart, I want to propose to you that we make another effort every year to renew our efforts to practice the novena to Jesus' sacred, most sacred heart, beginning 9 days before. Novena is 9 days of prayer. And so if we could start this next Wednesday, June 18th, at the 6:30 Mass after Communion, we will say the novena to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, as Jesus instructed St. Margaret Mary. And all are encouraged to receive Holy Communion on the feast days of Corpus Christi and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and all first Fridays of every month as often as possible, as Jesus instructed us. When you get your bulletin today, inside you're going to see an image of the Sacred Heart, and on the back, in English and Spanish, is the novena. So make sure you get a bulletin. And then don't forget that it was Jesus himself who told us, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. This is a matter of life and death.